The U.S. Bureau of Reclamation physically opened the gates on the lower Colorado River's system of dams to make the increased flow happen. But it took years of negotiations between the U.S. and Mexico through the International Boundary and Water Commission to make the pulse flow possible. Sally Spiener is U.S. Secretary of the IBWC, and she says the pulse flow was only possible because of the mission of her organization.
The International Boundary and Water Commission, United States and Mexico, is responsible for applying the boundary and water treaties between the two countries and settling differences that arise in the application of the treaties. In the Colorado River region, the main aspect that we are interested in is application of provisions of the 1944 Water Treaty regarding the allotment and delivery of Colorado River water to Mexico.
Right now, we're in the midst of the Minute 319 pulse flow event. Last week, the height of the flow, and as I understand it, the very name of this event has to do with the 1944 treaty, doesn't it?
Minute 319 is a binding agreement of the International Boundary and Water Commission, and by treaty, agreements of the commission are recorded in the form of minutes. So Minute 319 is an agreement that addresses various aspects of Colorado River management for a five-year period, including water for the environment. And so the pulse flow that we saw and continue to see is part of the environmental aspects of Minute 319.
What was the idea behind doing this? How did the ball get rolling to do something like this?
When we started looking at the different aspects of a potential agreement between the United States and Mexico on the Colorado River, the environment was one of those important aspects. And we have other important aspects as well, such as joint investment and conservation and infrastructure projects. We have ways that we manage water resources between the two countries when we have high reservoir conditions and low reservoir conditions. We deal with salinity and, of course, the environmental aspect. So we started working and for a number of years had some work groups that met, looked at different possibilities within this range of issues that we were taking a look at, and ultimately negotiated an agreement to provide for this one-time pulse flow during the five-year period of Minute 319. And the idea is that before dams were constructed, in the springtime, you would tend to get high flows on the river, and this helped to germinate seeds for native vegetation and promoted the growth of the native plant species in the region. And so the idea of doing a peak flow, a higher than normal flow during the springtime, it is hoped will help to benefit native seed germination.
We saw the very peak of the peak, if you'd like to phrase it that way, last week. Things, as I understand it, are going to be tailing back then for the next few weeks. Can you explain how that's going to work?
Yes. The pulse flow started on March 23rd and will continue until May the 18th. At least that's when the releases are occurring for it. So it started off and then it reached its peak flow the last few days of March, and then it's coming back down again, and then will continue at a lower level until it finally ends. There will also be, at various times during the year, what we call base flow. So there will be a little bit of water that will help, hopefully, to sustain some of the seeds, the plants that are germinated during the pulse flow event.
That's what I was wondering. What happens after the actual flow event is done? First of all, I'm assuming that this is going to be studied from a number of different angles. And then you just mentioned that there will be at least occasionally some extra flow coming in to help with what's been germinated. What's the overall plan post-flow?
Minute 319 is a five-year agreement. And one of the things that we are doing, not only with regard to the environmental aspects of the minute, but other aspects of the minute, is to study how things work. And we have a team of scientists from both the United States and Mexico who are working along the Colorado River right now and through the pulse flow. We want to know how far downstream the water goes, what is the area that is inundated by this flow, and then we are also going to be studying what the impact was in terms of helping to provide habitat, helping to generate new plant growth and to sustain the growth of plants that have already been put in by people at some active restoration sites. And so there will be a lot of scientific analysis that will be done of the pulse flow, the environmental aspects as well as other aspects of the minute that will help us inform what we might want to do on any future agreement for the Colorado River.
That leads right into my next question. Is there even at least a small possibility that this could be something close to a maybe yearly or every couple of years event, if it's shown that it worked really well, that we could be seeing more of these in the future?
At this point, we don't know. We are all interested in working together on future Colorado River agreements. It's a bit early to say what exactly those agreements will have, but certainly we are looking at how this one goes, and we'll explore options for future joint cooperative actions to create water for the environment.
How is the cooperation between the governments of the United States and Mexico when it comes to the Colorado River? Do you have one view for both countries, or do each country's interests have to be settled through in order to come up with what's best for the entire river?
I would say that the level of cooperation between the United States and Mexico on Colorado River issues over the last several years has been really remarkable. People may remember a decade or so ago, there was quite a bit of conflict. There was a lot of concern in Mexico over the planned lining of the All-American Canal in the United States
right. Because
of potential impacts to Mexico. So that was a very difficult period in the U.S.-Mexico relationship on Colorado River issues. And I think what we've seen over the last maybe 7 years or so is really an unprecedented level of cooperation. We've had a number of agreements, other minutes related to Colorado River issues regarding the operation of the Yuma desalting plant and conveyance of water to the Santa Clara wetland in Mexico. We had a conceptual framework document for the U.S.-Mexico discussions on Colorado River cooperative actions after the earthquake that hit the Mexicali Valley in 2010. We had another agreement that basically allows Mexico to store some of its water in the United States when it couldn't use that water because of the earthquake, because there was such significant damage to the irrigation infrastructure in Mexico. And then we had Minute 319 that talked about conservation and infrastructure investment, salinity management, environmental flows, management of water resources during high reservoir and low reservoir conditions, etc. So I think you can see over the last several years, there's really been a focus on U.S.-Mexico cooperation, and we certainly hope that this will continue for many years to come.
But with regard to that cooperation, is there cooperation as well looking into the near-term future with the drought that we've been seeing here in this part of the country? And as things stand right now, low levels of the reservoirs on the Colorado River system and what that could mean for the future?
That is one of the aspects of Minute 319. It addresses what happens if Lake Mead were to reach a critically low elevation in the next 5 years, and how would those shortages be shared with Mexico? That is one of the important aspects of the minute. And it's, again, a drought management strategy that both countries are working with together. And I think the idea is that if we can all take smaller reductions now so as to prevent really devastating reductions in the future, that is a strategy that is a win-win for both countries.
Secretary Spiener says the Colorado River flow will slowly decrease until it's back to normal in mid-May. For KAWC's Arizona Edition, I'm Kim Johnson.